sat me down to roll Simply Wonderfuls for the Sunday feast, and I remember very distinctly I was rolling with one hand, and he said, no, you do it with two hands, and he taught me how to roll two. And so then I finished that work, and I thought, oh, now I will relax and sit around the temple. But immediately there was Jayananda again, standing over top of me. Yes, sir. And he immediately engaged me in vacuuming the rug in the temple room. In those days, we used to have a big Indian rug. The temple was about this big, a little smaller. And of course, there were paintings on the wall and a lot of incense. And we used to have Indian rug on the wall also and on the floor also. So I had to vacuum that. And in that way, I spent the whole day practically, except for the kirtan and the actual feast, in working for Krishna. So by meeting a devotee, we engage our senses, Rishikesha, Rishikena, Sevanam, Bhaktir, Kuchate. When our senses are engaged in serving Krishna, instead of serving ourselves, or serving our families, or serving others, we're always serving. The meaning of dharma is service. So we're always engaged. The essential quality that everyone has is that we're engaged in serving someone. Maybe the devil or maybe the Lord, but we have to serve somebody. Bob Dylan. Yeah, he wrote a song like that. So it's true. You really, if you say, I don't serve anyone, you know, there are some people who are so puffed up. You know, they're just like, you know, they just have a big chest and they, you know, they think they're Mr. It, you know. And they're so, I don't serve anyone. You know, I don't serve anyone. But they're serving their mind. Their mind is demanding. They're serving their senses. And ultimately, if they say, no, not serving my mind, I'm not serving my senses, then they're serving time. Time says you get old, you get old. Time says you die, you die. So you're serving someone, ultimately. But the highest form of service is service to God. The greatest benefit is achieved by rendering service to Krishna. So Jayananda engaged me and in Bhajana Kriya. And that helped me to get an attraction for devotees in devotional service. Of course I joined the kirtan and, you know, of course I loved the feast, and it was an explosion of sensuous ecstasy, all of it. I don't know, there are many kinds of devotees, but I think the prasadam devotee is the most common type of devotee. Many devotees, you know, will say, well, you know, I was attracted by this or that, but most often devotees say that my first attraction was for samosas and halva. That's how I became a devotee, right? That's him. You look like a prasadam. That's a number. But that developed when I left the temple, but I was always thinking of that wonderful man who was so confident and so peaceful and so happy. And he was always working for Krishna, and that really attracted me. So I went back to the next day. And I really wanted to join those devotees. Thank you very much.
result of that is anartha nivritti syat. One's the dirty things in the heart. Actually, love of God, nitya siddha krishna prem satya kabunoya. Satya means devotional service to God is the most natural, spontaneous thing in the world. Very natural, just like a child walking is natural. Loving God is easy, it's not difficult. Krishna reciprocates in the most wonderful way. He fulfills all your desires. He fills you up with joy and peace. You are free from anxiety. Brahma-bhuta prasanatma na sochati na kamchati. No more lamentation. No more hankering after things that never satisfy you anyway. Just serving Krishna and being satisfied with that, knowing that he's your best friend, the ultimate lover, friend, master, guide. Just that relationship is so fulfilling. The devotee doesn't need any other thing in the world. He's peaceful, and he tries to share his happiness with others, but if others don't want it, it doesn't matter. He's happy. He's not a fanatic. He does his best. But he's happy in himself. He's Atma Rama. Atma Ramascha Munayo Nirdanta Apyuktama. The devotee has nothing that he needs. He's very full in himself. So, what blocks that natural devotion are various kinds of impurities, such as lust. Lust is the number one. Kamesha. I mean, Arjuna, this is 5,000 years ago. Prabhupada says here in the very first verse, the first line of the purport, that the Bhagavad Gita is the best of all scriptures. So, let's analyze that for a second. The two most popular and well-known scriptures after the Bhagavad Gita, of course, is the Bible and the Quran, right? So, the Bible was spoken by Lord Jesus Christ, who is a pure devotee of Krishna, and he loved God the way a son loves a father. The son loves his father in a certain mood, but he loves his wife in a different mood. The intensity and the type of subtle things in that love are different. Love of a father is different and love of a wife is different. Love of a child is different. The father loves his child, but that love is different than love of his mother. So the different kinds of love, Lord Jesus Christ professed that I love my father as a son. I am the son of God. So he was speaking to people in practically in a very hot desert area. Now, a desert is not necessarily the best place to have a public program. Tomorrow I think we rented a hall with, you know, air conditioning, the, you know, seats and, you know. Desert is not the best place. And a lot of those people were very simple. They were shepherds. Shepherds are, of course, very, you know, good people and all that, but they're not known to be great philosophers. Someone was telling me about a real story where they brought a whole tour group of shepherds from South America. They brought them to New York. So they took them to see the Empire State Building, you know, and they thought this would really impress all these villagers, shepherds from South America. So they showed them the you know, tallest building in the world, Empire State Building. And they asked them, what do you think of this building, you know, Americans? What do you think of our Empire State Building? And the shepherds discussed amongst themselves, and then the spokesman said, how many sheep can it hold?
No.
They're not known to be great philosophers, you know. They think of their sheep and their work, and you know. So Jesus Christ had a very complex message to give them, but he spoke in very simple language. I am the shepherd, you are the sheep, sheep follow the shepherd. Come on. His message was simple, but they didn't understand very well. They killed him. They thought he was out to, become king or something. They didn't understand at all. He was delivering a message of love, and they responded with rejection. Actually, he did many miracles. Hey, if Prabhupada had come and done a lot of razzle-dazzle miracles, he would have got a lot of disciples. But Jesus Christ found that after some time, he saw that people were only interested in the miracles. They wanted to cure my eye, you know, they weren't interested in God. They were just coming for the miracles. And so he gave back to the Jesus' disciples. So he stopped, actually, after some time. He couldn't. He said, there are many things that I have to tell you, but you cannot bear it. Muhammad, he was also another good devotee of the Lord. He described himself as a prophet or devotee. He was preaching to nomads. Nomad means people who live in a, you know, actually they don't know where they live, they keep moving. But they would, their practice was, they were often warrior type people, and they would raid the next village, kill all of the men, rape all of the women, and steal everything, and you know, go on their way. And so he had to preach to those people, get them to calm down and love God a little bit. So, you know, he told them, don't, in the most important essential scriptures, you know, topmost scripture, he has to advise them, don't have sex with your mother. Or your sister. And especially not your daughter. Now, why did he have to tell them that? And they were doing it. You tell them not to do it. So it wasn't so easy for him to reveal the essential truth of Ras Lila. But Arjuna was emperor of the whole world. He was the best of all the students of Dronacharya.
He had full control of his mind and senses. He told Krishna he didn't, but when Drona asked his students, "What do you see?" It was an archery competition. And Drona, he hung a target, a fish on a tree, long ways away. And so he asked each one of his students to step up and to shoot the target. So he asked Yudhisthira, he asked Duryodhana, he asked each one, "Before you shoot, tell me what you see." And, you know, each one would say, "Well, I see the tree, I see the leaves, I see the fish, I see the eye of the fish." "Okay, would you go down?" You know. Finally, he asked Arjuna, "What do you see?" "I see the eye. I don't see anything else." "Okay, shoot." Because he had control, he had focus. He wasn't distracted. He had power of concentration. So Krishna didn't even talk about sub-religious principles. Just like, you know, I've come here for a short visit, and the first thing was that the temple president came to me and said, "Maharaj, while you're here, please don't steal anything, okay? Because, No, he didn't tell me that. He knows that I know enough not to steal. You know, in the Bible, you know, they have to tell you, don't steal, don't covet thy neighbor's wife, don't do this, don't do that. Krishna didn't say any of those things to Arjuna because he was already a first-class man. He began to instruct him, you're not the body, these are the modes of nature, these are the different processes of yoga, this is transcendental knowledge, etc., etc. So the Bhagavad Gita is the best of all revealed scriptures. Not that it's in competition, but it is the topmost. What is there in other scriptures is there in Bhagavad Gita, but much more. Like a pocket dictionary and a, you know, an unabridged Webster's International. You know, when I was going to high school, I had a little small dictionary. I really thought it was cool, because, you know, the Bible fitted in my pocket. And, you know. But then when I went to university, my dad gave me this dictionary. It was like three volumes. Each one was this fat, you know, and it had thousands of pages. And I thought, well, you know, come on. You know, I got my pocket dictionary. But then I looked at the words in the big dictionary. The same words were there, but like, you know, the root, where it came from, the Greek root, and the Latin, and this and that, and synonyms and antonyms, and, you know, there's so much more depth. So the Bhagavad Gita takes us really as far as we can go to understand Krishna in his human form of life. So, in order to purify our heart of these anarthas or unwanted things, especially lust, Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, "Kamesha, Krodesha, Rajagun, Samutbhava, Mahasano Mahapapma Vidyenam Iha Vairinam." Key word here is Vairinam, meaning enemy. Lust is our enemy, in the sense that it blocks us from achieving pure love of God. And because we don't achieve love of God, apraprayamam nivartante, Mrityu Sansara Vartmani. We have to go through the cycle of repeated birth and death again and again and again. Okay, one time, you know, okay, I can go with the flow. I can, you know, take it or leave it. You know, maybe I'll get a good job and I'll be successful. One time. But, you know, again and again and again, you know, sometimes as a demigod, sometimes as a cockroach, you know, up and down, doing the same things over and over again, chewing the chew. That's not what we're looking for. Purnami pas badanam. Purnami, the real nectar, which we really want, you know, it's not in a glass of beer, it's not in a Marlboro cigarette, it's not in, you know, the latest, video, pornographic video. There's nothing new under the sun. Whatever they're giving us today is just the same thing. It's old wine in a new bottle. There's nothing new. Eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. No matter how you decorate it, no matter how you put icing on it, it's the same business. And so, we should understand that that will not satisfy us, but what will satisfy us is when we're free from all of these obstacles, when our heart is clean, when our love flows to God, and when everything is spontaneous. And the business of the materialistic mind is sankalpa and vikalpa. The mind is like a giant analytical computer that is taking down data. Americans say data, they say data. So you're taking down impressions through the eyes, through the ears, through the nose, and processing, data processing. And trying to come across some combination that will make us feel pleasurable, make us feel happy. But there's nothing that ultimately gives us that happiness which we actually deserve. As eternal beings, we want to enjoy eternally. So to enjoy in a body which is temporary and which gets old and diseased and died, it's a letdown. It's a bad bargain. You're settling for inferior pleasure. You deserve eternal happiness. You are a soul. Not one. You're not male, you're not human. You're not black, you're not white. You're not young, you're not old. You're not Serbian, Croatian, or Slovenian, or this or that. We're all Mama Ivamsa Jiva Loke Jiva Bhuta Sanatana. We're all children of God, we're all part of God, we're spiritual beings. The reason we want to live eternally is because we're eternal. It's almost a logical progression. You never want something that you've never had experience of. Right? If I invited you this evening for a big feast of Scony Bitscoos. Would you like to have some Scony Bitscoo tonight?
In what?
No? What is it? Yeah, I don't know what it is either. But you don't want it if you've never had it, right? You have no idea what it is. You don't get lusty. You don't start dribbling on the ball. The mind is attracted to things that it has previous experience of. And especially if someone offers us something, we ask, what is it like? We don't know what it is. Then we'll say, what is it like? Because we want to relate to something we have experience of. So we have a very strong desire to live eternally. And the reason is that we are eternal. It's our constitutional position. The soul doesn't die. Deino smenyata dehe komaram yoganam jaratata dehantara prapti. Even after this body, you get another body. In this body, you change bodies, and with death, you get another body, the soul doesn't die. And happiness means eternal happiness. And we have to have faith that we can attain eternal happiness. It's not blind faith, it's sakaran shraddha. It's rational faith, intelligent faith, logical faith. We use our intelligence. But finally, we have to take a step forward towards Krishna. We have to do something. We can't sit around and wait forever for the next incarnation of God to come to our house and, I'm here, I'm real, you know. Use our intelligence, and Krishna is available. Vina bham nama namino. There's no difference in the absolute world between the form of God, the name of God, the pastimes of God, the paraphernalia of God. In the relative world, there is a difference. If I'm thirsty and I want a glass of water, I cannot just chant water, 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 water. It doesn't satisfy my thirst. Because the sound and the object are different. But in the absolute world, there is no difference. The same chit potency is there. Either I embrace Krishna with my arms, or I chant his name. I get the same blissful experience. Therefore, Golokera Premadana Harinama Sankirtana. The holy name has been imported. We all like the imported things, right? Huh? Everybody wants Japanese tape recorder, German car, imported things. So the holy name has been imported for you. Please have faith in the holy name. There's nothing but the holy name to be had in all the 14 worlds. And it has filled full the soul of Śrīla Bhaktivinoda Thakura. One of my favorite songs is this morning bhajan by Bhaktivinoda Thakura. Arindaya Kirtan. And he just glorifies the holy name so nicely. Bhaktivinoda Thakura expressed so nicely in his songs and his poetry the feeling that the devotee has for the holy name. Bhaktivinoda Thakura, he prayed to Krishna that, please forgive me. My chanting is so offensive. I'm inattentive while chanting, and I feel that I'm bruising your body by my chanting. He's feeling that the name of Krishna is Krishna. Not that the name represents Krishna. The name of Krishna is Krishna. And by chanting Krishna's name, Krishna dances on your tongue. You see? Vinatam nam nam no. The name and the possessor of the name, there's no difference. So, in conclusion, I would like to leave you with a logical alternative or a logical suggestion from a French philosopher named Blaise Pascal. You heard of Blaise Pascal? Huh? Yeah? Okay. So it's called Pascal's Gamble. Of course, you don't gamble, but Pascal said there are four possibilities. Four possibilities. One is that there is God and you follow his orders and you worship him and you win. You benefit. You enjoy. Two, there is God and you don't follow his laws. You don't worship him. You don't believe in him. And because there is God, you're in trouble. You get punished. You break the law, you get punished. You drive too fast, you get a ticket. You steal from the bank, you get put in jail. You break the laws of God, hey, there's lots of suffering people in the world. You get a reaction. Okay. Three, there's no God. All just a hoax. But you worship God and you feel peaceful and happy and your life is simple and you haven't lost anything. You actually, you know, it's like taking opium, like Mr. Mark said. Okay, you worship God and you're peaceful and happy. You believe in virtue and good qualities. And you try to develop those qualities, and your community is very peaceful. Your people are peaceful because they worship God. There's no God, but, you know, you're all an illusion. And that's the third possibility. Three possibilities so far. There is God, and you worship him. There's no God, and there is God, and you don't worship him. There's no God, and you worship him. The fourth possibility is there's no God and you don't worship him anyway. And, you know, you live as long as everybody else and you're subject to ups and downs and you die just like everybody else. So you haven't really gained anything. So of the four possibilities, 75% suggest that you should have faith in God. So, if you're a gambler, 75% odds, that's pretty strong odds. So, it's just intelligence to have faith in the Lord, have faith in Krishna. To say that there's no absolute truth is absolutely stupid. You're saying it's absolutely true, there's no absolute truth. And that's absolutely absurd, what you're saying. There's no God. I know, because I'm God. I've seen everywhere, I've seen everything, there's no God. It doesn't make sense. So this is not blind faith, it's intelligent faith, rational faith. Now, who God is best explained in the Bhagavad Gita. It is the oldest tradition. Our particular Madhva Gaudiya tradition is headed by Chaturmukh Brahma, the most learned person in the universe, and Veda Vyas, and Madhva, all brilliant men. In India today, the Madhvas, the followers of Madhvacharya, they're the biggest Sanskrit scholars. Oftentimes there are debates debates, Sanskrit debates. Just like, you know, we have, for our entertainment, you know, we have Michael Jackson concerts, and we have lotteries, and whatever, silly things. In India, they, in cultured society, they go for seeing pundits debate in logic and reason and Sanskrit and whatever. Invariably, the Madhvas defeat the Mayavadis. They're very powerful debaters. So we come in a very learned line. What to speak of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who was the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself, and established this Achintya Veda Aved Tattva, which is brilliant. So, we have faith, but there's a lot of opportunity to use our intelligence and to increase our faith by transcendental knowledge. And it is not like some fundamentalist groups, religious groups, who reject knowledge. Oh, you know, that knowledge is the proof of evil. We just love the Lord. We don't use our intelligence at all. I know you don't. You can use everything in Krishna's service. Somehow or other, by any means, we have to increase our faith in God so that at the time of death we can call on His name, beg for mercy, and pray back to God. Okay. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Any questions or comments? Hands over. Yes. No, that's a separate issue, what is God, but at least you have some faith in some supreme or superior or something. Even if you think you're the supreme, but still, you have faith in God. You're not smarter than Mr. Pascal, are you? Any other questions? Smart remarks or wise cracks or stump the guru questions? How can, the question is, how can we learn to be steady in Krishna consciousness? With yoga, and type, she says in this chapter somewhere. Engage in devotional service as much as possible. Read Prabhupada's books at least an hour a day, if not more. Follow the morning program to the best of your ability. This simple formula will give you enough intelligence. Buddhi yogam pam. Minamam buddhiyam pita. Krishna gives the devotee intelligence, how the devotee can come to Krishna. Unsteadiness is caused basically by doubts.
Asvadadasya Purusha Dhanasasya Paramitapa. Instead, you know, life of faith. So, when doubts attack, if we have strong sadhana, if we have memorized verses from the Bhagavad Gita, if we understand, I mean, in Krishna consciousness, by reading Prabhupada's books, you not only understand about the spiritual world, but you understand about the material world and how it works. For example, in the Isha, Upanishad, it is explained, vidyam cha yastad vedo vayam saha, that one should understand the material world and the spiritual world side by side. You should know that the material world is acting by the movement of sattvas, rajas, and tamaguna, by the modes of material nature. And the interaction of the modes of nature and the senses and sense objects. You can understand that the whole material world is sustained by material desires, and especially the foremost, strongest desire is mithuni bhav, sex desire. Even a yogi conquers sex desire by regulation, but that same desire goes underground. You know, becomes a guerrilla warfare. He comes out in the form of lava, puja, pratista, the desire for profit, adoration, and distinction. So, when you have this understanding, then when Maya attacks you, you can fight back. You're armed with yoga, you know, with knowledge. You cut away Maya. And in that way, you can survive and be steady. Within this body, Krishna is the center of everything. Krishna is the thread that joins everything together. But we have to practically see how we can chant Krishna's name enthusiastically,
and at the same time take enough rest, 6 hours maximum, so that we can chant again another day. We have to take Krishna prasadam. I've seen devotees who, you know, spirit so they stop sleeping, and they wouldn't eat anything, and try to chant 128 rounds. You know, they lasted about 6 weeks in the loop. Not that we shouldn't be enthusiastic, but we should follow the Mahajano Yenadatha Sapantaha. Prabhupada, the last sentence of this purport says, one should follow in the footsteps of the previous acharyas. So Srila Prabhupada set a perfect example for all of us in many ways, and we should be satisfied and follow Prabhupada's example. Then we will be steady, peaceful. Faith. Faith is a key here. Faith again, faith. Suridam sarva bhutana. We should have faith that Krishna is your best friend. Yatvamam shantim rikshati. Those who know this and really believe it, they achieve peace. Janma karma chame jibyam evam yoga vitatada chakpadeyam punajamanaiti manaiti swarjana. Those who accept that Krishna is not an ordinary person, he's the Supreme Godhead. Just knowing that and having faith in that qualifies you for liberation. Devotional service is very, very, it's the most dynamic thing in the world. Devotional service is so potent and transcendental that even the most wretched person can become a saintly brahmana. His whole life can be transformed by the process of devotional service. Mahi Partha Vyapasvitya Yipisu Papa Yomaya. Most simple person of the lowest birth can param gatim, can reach the highest destination by engaging in bhakti yoga. It is a very potent process. It is meant for this age. And if we apply ourselves with a peaceful mind, step by step, we're sure to be successful. There's no doubt. Ashamshayam Mahabaho Manodur Nigraham Chalam Yasena Tukondaya Vairagyena Chagriyate. It is difficult to control the mind and senses, but by constant practice and by simple living and following the right process, it's possible. Any other question? Antaraj Srimad Bhagavatam.